Thank you guys for attending this talk, and thanks for the invitation to give a seminar at Parameter. So today I will be talking about the work that I did with Ningbal and Ibrahim Shahzad. And today I will talk about holographic dual of Rényi relative entropy. So before I start talking about Rényi relative entropy, let me start with some background and some motivation. So recall that in ADS CFT, entanglement entropy of a state reduced to some spatial subregion is given by a bulk area. It's the area of some bulk codimension 2 surface. And this is an interesting result because it provides a deep connection between a quantum information quantity and a geometric quantity. And this connection led to many interesting results. For example, this led to some works on holographic C theorem, for example. This led to derivation of Einstein equations in the bulk ADS space, and so on. So it is interesting to talk about the connection that is a connection between quantum information and geometric quantities in the bulk in context of ADS CFT. However, entanglement entropy is just a number. It does not tell you everything about the entanglement spectrum of your system. So for that, what we need to talk about is a Rényi generalization of entanglement entropy, which is called Rényi entropy. And Rényi entropy is parameterized by some number n, and it is defined in this way. I don't think the pointer works on this screen, so. Okay, so Rényi entropy is defined in this way, and it is parameterized by an integer n. Okay, and note that this is a one parameter generalization of one dimensional entropy or entanglement entropy, because as n goes to one, this quantity reduces to the one dimensional entropy of state rho. The question is there a holographic dual of this quantity Sn? The answer as of today is that we do not have a natural holographic dual. However, if we consider a refined version of this quantity, which I will label by S tilde n, and it is defined as some derivative with respect to n, then we do have a natural holographic dual, and it is given by a area of a cosmic brain with some n-dependent tension. So note that this is an interesting holographic dual, because the holographic dual of some quantity, which is a function of state rho, is not given by some geometric quantity in the bulk dual of rho. It is given by some another auxiliary geometry. And for that geometry, you have to solve equations of motion, but you also have to take care of some back reaction by some cosmic brain. So when you solve the equations of motion and take care of some back reaction, you will get some another geometry. And in that geometry, you will have to find a minimal area surface. And the area of that surface will give you this S tilde n. Okay. So another quantity of interest in literature is called relative entropy. So unlike Rényi entropy or entanglement entropy, it's a function of two states. And it tells us how distinguishable two quantum states are. And this quantity has been studied in detail in the context of CFTs and in ADS CFT. Study of this quantity has led to many interesting results. For example, this led to what's called entanglement proof of entanglement wedge reconstruction. This quantity has appeared in proof of generalized second law, Bekenstein bound, Busse bound, and so on. And there are many other places this quantity has appeared as well. So it is advisable to study Rényi generalization of relative entropy in the context of CFTs and in the context of holography. And that is what I want to do today. But before I do this, let me review some of the known results about relative entropy, which I will do next. And once I'm due with that review, I will discuss, I will show that there is a Rényi generalization of relative entropy, which also satisfies those conditions. Actually, First, let me define what quantity I will be studying in this talk. So what are the Rényi generalizations of relative entropy that we know of? There are many proposals in the literature, but there is one quantity that preserves most of the properties of relative entropy. One such property is like data processing, or that it is monotonic under the size of the system. And one quantity that preserves most of the properties of relative entropy is called sandwich Rényi relative entropy, and it is defined in this way. And it's a parameter, it's parameterized by integer n. And in the limit n goes to 1, it approaches relative entropy. Instead of talking about this quantity, what I will do, I will talk about a refined version of this quantity, which I will call refined Rényi relative entropy. And it is defined in this way. It is defined as some n derivative of sandwich Rényi relative entropy. And we have seen such a derivative earlier as well in the context of refined Rényi entropy. And it is easy to check that as n goes to 1, this quantity also approaches relative entropy, and hence it's a one parameter generalization of relative entropy. So in the next few minutes, I will talk about known properties of relative entropy. And after that, I will argue that this quantity S tilde n also satisfies those properties of relative entropy in the context of CFTs and holography. So let me start with a review of relative entropy. Maybe I should scroll. Thank you, Ziki. Okay. So let's start with a review of relative entropy. In this talk, I will consider CFT, and I will take my state sigma, the reference state, to be the vacuum state of a CFT reduced to a ball-shaped region. And for simplicity, I will take the radius to be 1. That's just for simplicity. And the good thing about this setup is that when we have a state which is a vacuum of a CFT reduced to a ball-shaped region, the state has a universal form for all CFTs. And this is because the domain of dependence of our ball-shaped region can be mapped by conformal transformation to hyperbolic space, as was shown by Rob along with Cassini and Hoyter. And under this conformal transformation, this state sigma maps to a thermal state on a hyperbolic space with temperature, inverse temperature 2 pi. So this state sigma can be written as thermal state, where now H is the Hamiltonian on hyperbolic space. To be precise, this relation is only true up to some unitary transformations, the unitary transformations that maps your ball-shaped region to hyperbolic space. But for clarity, I will not include those unitary transformations. They will just go for the right, so we don't have to include this as in this talk. Okay. So remember that this sigma is now a thermal state with inverse temperature 2 pi. So this state can be constructed by path integral over S1 cross hyperbolic space. So you should have this picture in mind. So state sigma can be constructed by some path integral, vacuum path integral on S1 cross hyperbolic space. So vertical direction in this figure is denoting S1. Horizontal figures are denoting hyperbolic space. And the size of the S1 is beta, which is inverse temperature. In this case, it's 2 pi. And moreover, there are open curves at tau equals 0 and tau equals 2 pi, where tau is denoting my direct continuance on S1. Now, let's talk about an excited state that I will be interested in this talk. So excited state for my purpose would be a state constructed by path integral over S1 cross hyperbolic space, but with some operator inserted. And the operator that I will be inserting is like some exponential of some smearing of some local operator around some neighborhood, a small neighborhood. So the picture that one should have in mind is something like this, that rho is constructed by some path integral with some insertion of operators. And note that the operators that I've inserted is symmetric around tau equals pi. And this is because when we construct the path, when we construct a catch state, or when we construct a catch state by path integral on R d minus 1, we insert operators in the lower half space. We do path integral over lower half space. When we construct bra, we do path integral over upper half space. And when we map this R d path integral to S1 cross hyperbolic space, lower half space maps to lower hemisphere, upper half space maps to upper hemisphere, and that's why we have a symmetry from around tau equals pi. We have a Z2 symmetry around tau equals pi. Okay. So in this talk, I will be excited about vacuum state, which is thermal state, and this kind of excited state. Okay. So thanks, Ishi. So one more thing. In the operating session, I have some smearing function which I've denoted by lambda of x. And in the approximation when that lambda of x is small, my excited state can be expanded around vacuum state in this way. We note that rho 1 is some integral of sigma times O is smeared with some lambda tilde, where lambda tilde has contribution from both lambda inserted in the lower hemisphere and lambda inserted in the upper hemisphere. And so lambda tilde is defined in such a way that it vanishes everywhere except these two neighborhoods, which have denoted by black dots. And inside these black dots, it is equals to the smearing function that I use to construct my excited state. Now note that when lambda is small and state rho can be expanded in this way, then the relative entropy between, or perturbative relative entropy between state rho and sigma has been computed in CFTs. And it is known that the perturbative relative entropy has a universal form for all CFTs. So it doesn't matter whether the CFT is free theory or it has this large CFT with a holographic dual. And the reason that this quantity is universal is that it is fixed by CFT vacuum two-point functions. And moreover, it was shown by Faulkner and collaborators that this quantity, relative entropy between perturbative relative entropy, can be written as a symplectic flux or symplectic current of a certain scalar field in the AdS-Rindler spacetime. So this kind seems like a AdS CFT result, but this is not. This is purely CFT result. And in this context, we should think of AdS Rindler spacetime as some auxiliary spacetime. And so this is a result that was proposed by Faulkner and collaborators. And here in this equation, the scalar field solves the equations of motion in the bulk AdS Rindler spacetime. And the mass of this is fixed by the conformal dimension of the operator that inserted. And the boundary condition is fixed by the smearing function, which is lambda tilde x. So for holographic CFTs, this scalar field would have been the holographic dual of operator O. But this result is not true for just for holographic CFTs. This is true for all CFTs. And I will discuss what is the Rényi generalization of this result. And I will argue that S tilde n, the quantity that I introduced earlier, also satisfies a similar equation like this. Before I talk about the Rényi generalization of this result, let me review another property of relative entropy. So now let's assume that state rho is not a small perturbation around state sigma. So in this case, we know a general result for holographic CFTs, not for all CFTs. And it was shown by Lashkari and collaborators that the relative entropy or non-perturbative relative entropy is related to the conserved charges or difference of conserved charges in bulk dual of state rho and in the bulk dual of state sigma. And these conserved charges have contributions from both the asymptotic boundary and from the extremal surface dual to state rho or state sigma. So in next few minutes, I want to review the derivation of this result. But before that, let me give a quick review of these conserved charges. So recall that if we have any field theory and we have any Lagrangian, the variation of the Lagrangian respective fields can be decomposed as some part which is gives us equation of motion and a total derivative term. And that total derivative term gives us a symplectic potential theta. And given symplectic potential, we can find symplectic current by anti-symmetric variation of theta. And given symplectic current, we can define a Hamiltonian conjugate to some vector field. Here I'm denoting vector field by eta as an integral through some subspace or through some Cauchy surface. Integral of some Cauchy surface of integral of omega on some Cauchy surface gives us the perturbed Hamiltonian conjugate to eta. Now, if we assume equations of motion, and certain boundary conditions on the boundary of Cauchy surface, then we can integrate the previous equation and write h eta as some bulk term and some boundary term. And note that the bulk term is very similar to what we know from classical mechanics, that Hamiltonian is pq dot minus l. All of these follows from simple algebra, and it was discussed in detail by Iyer and Ward, for example. Moreover, if we assume equations of motion again, we can write the bulk term in terms of neutral charge. So the bulk term would be like derivative of neutral charge. And hence, we can write this h eta purely as a bulk integral, which would be neutral charge minus some boundary term. And that boundary term could be like Gibson-Hawking-York term kind of term. This equation is interesting because it tells us that Hamiltonian eta only depends on the vector field near the boundary of the Cauchy surface. So in this sense, this quantity is conserved because if you fix the boundary of sigma and deform sigma in any way, the quantity would be conserved, would be invariant. Okay. Now, once we have a definition of this Hamiltonian conjugate to eta, let me talk about how it is related to relative entropy. So note that relative entropy is well known to be written as difference in entropies and difference in modular Hamiltonian. This follows because we can just we can just add and subtract some quantity in the definition of relative entropy. The first two terms can be identified as the difference in von Neumann entropies of sigma and rho. The rest of the two quantities can be written as the expectation value of log sigma. And since sigma is a thermal state, these two quantities become the expectation value of the Hamiltonian. And remember that this Hamiltonian is on hyperbolic space. Moreover, for holographic CFTs, we know that von Neumann entropy of sigma and rho are given by area of some bulk surface. So this equation, all I've done here is to use HRT formula and written relative entropy as a difference of areas and difference of energies. Okay. Sorry. Now, since state sigma is a thermal state on hyperbolic space, we know that the bulk dual of this state would be the area Schindler spacetime with temperature equals to the temperature of our thermal state. In this case, it is 1 over 2 pi. And HRT surface in this case is the bifurcation surface, which sits at r equals 1. And it was shown by Wald that the area of the bifurcation surface is given by the integral of the neutral charge on the bifurcation surface, which remember is also the HRT surface in this case. And since this Killing vector field vanishes at the bifurcation surface, we can just add a term which is basically zero. And note that this quantity q minus c dot k also appeared in the definition of the Hamiltonian. Yeah. Okay, so this was a discussion about sorry. This was a discussion about this area of the extremal surface dual to corresponding to state sigma. But what about the second term? So we do not ex sorry, I don't I'm confused about. Yeah, thanks. Yes. Thank you. Okay, what about the extremal surface corresponding to state's rho? In the Burke dual of state rho, which I denote by M sub rho, we do not expect any Killing vector field. However, it was argued by Lashkari and collaborators that we can always find a vector field C, which satisfies some of the required properties. One is that it vanishes at the extremal surface, and another, its derivative is given in is related to normal vectors in this way. So n1 and n2 are two normal vectors to our extremal surface. And given these boundary conditions, it is easy to show that the area of B sigma is related to the integral of Q near the charge. It follows from the definition of Q. And moreover, since C vanishes on B tilde rho, we can again add this term and write the area as the integral of Q minus C dot K.
There was some kind of sense in which we were perturbing here.
No, there is none. So this rho is not a perturbative state. So for perturbative state, we already know what the answer is, but this is general. In some sense, if rho is perturbative, then M rho is to lowest order same as M sigma. So now we know the difference in area, but let's talk about difference in Hamiltonian. And it was again it was argued by Faulkner and collaborators in the paper when they talk about when they discuss derivation of nonlinear Einstein equations from EDCFT from CFT that the integral of neutral charge with this boundary term on the boundary is related to the difference in expectation value of Hamiltonian. The way to understand this is that the integral of neutral charge will give you Brown-Yorke stress energy tensor in the EDS space. And according to EDS CFT, the Brown-Yorke stress energy tensor is the boundary stress energy tensor. And with some contraction, that stress energy tensor becomes Hamiltonian. And once we combine everything, we can write relative entropy as difference of these integrals. So the B and B tilde rho is the boundary of the Cauchy surface, which lies in the entanglement wedge of state rho. And B tilde sigma are the boundaries of Cauchy surface, which lies in the entanglement wedge of state sigma. And hence, we can combine these as a boundary of entanglement, as an integral over the boundary of entanglement wedge. And hence, we get a formula like this. This is the review of the result by Lashkari and collaborators. This is interesting because this leads to some positive energy theorem. So remember or recall that our relative entropy is known to be a positive quantity, and therefore positivity of relative entropy tells us that the right-hand side has to be positive or actually non-negative. And this leads to this positive energy theorem that the conserved charge that I've defined earlier in the Burke dual of some excited state is cannot be lesser than the conserved charge in the EDF cylinder spacetime. Now the question that I'm interested in, what are the Rényi generalization of these results? And again, I'll use the quantity that I introduced earlier, the refined Rényi relative entropy, to argue that both of these results can be generalized, can have a Rényi generalization. So now let's talk about Rényi relative entropy. So this is the quantity that I'm interested in, and I introduced this earlier. A few lines of algebra leads to a very useful identity, and the identity that you can relate this quantity, you can write this quantity as a relative entropy. But the relative entropy would be of some different state, which I will call sandwich state, and it is defined in this particular way. And here I'm not assuming anything about what whether state is sigma is some vacuum or not. It's true for arbitrary two state and for arbitrary quantum system, just few lines of algebra. And we will use this useful identity to find Rini generalization of the known results that I mentioned earlier. So let's first talk about the perturbative refined Rini relative entropy. And we'll in this section, we will talk about the Rini generalization of the earlier result, where relative entropy was still related to symplectic current in the adiacent spacetime. So suppose a state rho is expanded around state sigma, and the expansion parameter is epsilon. Then relative entropy at the lowest order in epsilon is given by this general formula. It is true for again for all quantum systems. And note that the linear term in epsilon does not appear in relative entropy, and that basically follows from positivity of relative entropy, because if epsilon linear term was present, we could have changed the sign of epsilon to make relative entropy negative. And this vanishing of the linear term is also known as first law of entanglement. Now, we don't want to talk about relative entropy, we want to talk about refined Rini relative entropy. But remember, recall that refined Rini relative entropy is same as relative entropy of some sandwich state. So, and I defined sandwich state earlier. So if state rho is perturbative around sigma, state sandwich state would also be perturbative around sigma. I just have to plug in the perturbative expansion. And what I find is that state sandwich state is perturbative around sigma, and the first order correction is given by this form. This is true for integer n's at least. And for perturbative refined Rini entropy, I can just use my useful identity that this quantity is related to relative entropy of sandwich state and vacuum state. And the earlier general result leads to this kind of formula. So it seems kind of, this formula is kind of general, but note that we are interested in CFTs, where state sigma is a thermal state and state rho is perturbative around sigma, and it's given by this form as I discussed earlier. So in this setup, this trace basically reduces to two-point function or thermal two-point function on hyperbolic space. And since this is a thermal two-point function, it satisfies KMS condition. And using KMS condition and a simple change of variables, we can absorb all of this n dependence in our source function, which I will call Zn symmetric source function. And it's defined in this way. So basically, if lambda was lambda tilde was everywhere zero except these two small neighborhoods, which are denoted by black dots, then lambda tilde n would be non-zero on two n neighborhoods, and everywhere it would be zero. And by construction, it is lambda tilde n is also symmetric around tau equals pi. This formula is interesting mainly because note that all the n dependence is encoded in our source function. And we know that as n goes to 1, s tilde n should approach relative entropy. So a perturbative formula for relative entropy would have a similar expression. The only difference would be that instead of lambda tilde n, we would have lambda tilde, because we are taking n goes to 1 limit. Therefore, yeah. So the If I have expression like this, all the independence is absorbed here, right? So if I taking n goes to one limit, all I have to take is replace lambda tilde n with lambda tilde. Here n is an integer, and I will assume n is an integer all throughout this talk. Maybe this logic is not correct, but if you look at the expression for relative entropy, or basically for relative entropy, I would just have state rho, not state sigma, so there won't be any summation. So if there is no summation, there is no summation, and lambda tilde is just same as lambda. Does that make sense? The possible values of k would only be.
So you're saying somehow in this perturbative construction, in some sense, the limit is easy. I just evaluate at n equals one. I don't really have to take some tricky limit.
Yeah, the expression is valid for all integers n greater than equal to one. So lambda n equals one is like trivial. You just have to plug in n equals one. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so this observation is kind of useful because it tells you that you can deduce the expression for s tilde n, or perturbative s tilde n, directly from the expression for s relative. All you have to do is to take the formula for f s relative and replace lambda tilde with Zn symmetric source function, lambda tilde n. And since relative entropy is related to symplectic current of a scalar field through EDS Schindler spacetime, s tilde n would also be related to symplectic flux of a scalar field. The only difference would be that the boundary condition of scalar field would not be fixed by lambda tilde. Instead, it would be fixed by lambda tilde n. So this is a heuristic argument for why s tilde n is same as symplectic flux of certain scalar field. Let me go over the derivation.
Am I going to run into a problem if n becomes too large and these sort of blobs start to overlap? Is there a solution in that?
I think there would be a problem, but
is something breaking down in the derivation?
No, not in the derivation. There would be a major problem in the non-perturbative thing, that you can't take n large. Okay. But here, I don't think you have to worry about this. There might be a problem.
Thinking that the blobs are somehow infinitesimal or cut off size.
I'm taking it to be small, but I'm not taking it to be cut off size.
Is there a problem with this formula? Is there a divergence when that happens, or does this formula is fine for any n?
I think it's fine. If the blobs overlap, then you might expect that two operators would sit on top of each other. But I think there is a typo. One of the operators is on some Euclidean time, another is some Euclidean time plus some Lorentzian time. So they will never be on top of each other. So that's why it might not be a problem. But my construction, when I will talk about non-perturbative state, will break down for large n's. Does that answer your question, Tony?
Mm-hmm. You're integrating over s, so they do sit on top of each other.
Yeah.
So you might get a divergence with this delta.
I guess again, I don't think s is allowed to go to s could go to zero, but basically this integral picks up all the poles that appears by residue theorem, and I guess it will only pick up poles for s greater than zero, not zero. This is why we have I f delta here. It's this cutoff delta which we have to take to zero at the end, get rid of the s equals zero pole.
It doesn't seem to get worse at this order at least, right? Because it's just like lambda is just a sum of different locations.
So what was the question? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So here was the heuristic argument. Let me basically give a proof of or derivation of the result that I'm proposing. The idea is that here you have a two-point function on hyperbolic space. And note that you can write the two-point function on S1 cross hyperbolic space as some integral on Edius-Schrödinger spacetime, and then you're integrating basically symplectic current of in the argument you have Euclidean bulk two-bound propagator and retarded bulk two-bound propagator, and this is just an identity because we know what the left-hand side is, we can compute what the right-hand side is, and we can basically compare them. This is basically what was used by Faulkner's and collaborators to relate perturbative relative entropy to symplectic current. So I'll be using that result and inserting that result here and performing the S integral leads to this equation where phi is now a bulk field and it satisfies boundary condition lambda tilde n. It stores by lambda tilde n on the boundary. So this, in some sense, is a Reni generalization of the earlier known result about perturbative relative entropy. And note that this is true for all CFTs. Nowhere have I assumed the ADS CFT correspondence. So this is a general result for all CFTs. Now let's talk about perturbative relative entropy or perturbative refined Reni relative entropy. And now we will assume that the CFTs has a holographic dual. So here my goal is to generalize the earlier known result that the relative entropy of two holographic states is related to the difference of conserved charges. Now recall this useful identity. In some sense, we know the bulk dual of this quantity because in some sense we know the bulk dual of the right quantity. That it's the difference of conserved charges. However, there should be some objection. How do I know that state sandwich state is a holographic state? And now, assuming we can show that state rho sandwich state has a semi-classical bulk dual, and there exists a vector field which satisfies certain boundary conditions, then if we can show these two things, then we can use earlier result of relating relative entropy to conserved charges, and by this identity, we can relate refined Reni relative entropy to conserved charges. So before I talk about this bulk dual of sandwich state, let me talk about how can we think of sandwich state in context of CFTs. So note that sandwich state is n power of this sandwich product, which I have denoted here by rho hat. And I can invert this equation to write rho as this product. And recall from earlier that state rho can be constructed by a path integral over S1 cross hyperbolic space with some operator insertions. Whereas state sigma is a thermal state, so it's constructed by a path integral without any operator insertions. And the size of the S1 is basically inverse temperature, beta, which in our case was 2 pi. But if you look at this sigma to the n minus 1 over 2n, it would again be constructed by a path integral over S1 cross hyperbolic space. The only difference is that the size of my S1 would shrink, would become n minus 1 over 2n. And therefore, I can think of this path integral rho as gluing of three different path integrals. The top half is just a vacuum path integral over S1 with size n minus 1 over 2n, with radius n minus 1 over 2n. And this is giving me sigma to the n minus 1 over 2n. Similarly, I have sigma n minus 1 over 2n from below. And using this equation, I can then deduce that the middle part is giving me rho hat n. So path integral representation of rho hat n is like integral path integral over S1 cross hyperbolic space with size of S1 is 2 pi over n. And I have two operators inserted symmetrically around the middle, around the equator. And here, the objection that Rob had would be important, because if n is too large, then I could not have done this construction, because then n minus 1 over 2n would be bigger than pi minus tau. So I have to assume that n minus 1 over 2n is lesser than pi minus tau. Is that clear? But assuming n is not too large, and we can we have this path integral representation of rho hat n. Yeah. And it turned out if you take your ball shape region to be of small size, so this tau naught, I didn't explain this earlier, but you insert some operator in your path integral for on over RD, and then you do the path integral, you do the conformal transformation to map it to hyperbolic space. So this radius R of your ball shape region matters here. If the if you take small your radius of region ball shape region to zero, this tau naught would approach zero. So in this ball region limit, you can take n to be as large as you want. Now, if you have a path integral representation of rho hat n, to get path integral representation for rho n standard state, we just have to take n copies of it and glue them together. When we do this, we get a path integral over the original space, which is S1 cross hyperbolic space. The only difference would be that we would have two n operators insertions. So this is kind of interesting, because the sandwich state is given by some, you are using replica trick, but the end result is path integral over the original space. This is different from path replica trick that we do for Rainey entropies, because there you get, after replica trick, you get a path integral over n covers of your original space, and that leads to conical singularities. Here, the after replica trick, you have a path integral over the original space, and you won't get any conical singularities at the end. To conclude this slide, for n greater than 1 and not too big, the sandwich state can be constructed as a path integral over original space with 2n operator insertions. So, we know what would be the bulk dual of this state. The bulk dual of this state The bulk dual of this state can be Euclidean bulk dual of this state can be solved by Euclidean equations of motion with certain boundary conditions. The first is that the bulk metric approaches the metric of S1 cross hyperbolic near the boundary. The second, that the Euclidean time has a periodicity of 2 pi. This is to ensure that there are no conical singularities. And as usual, the operator inserted on the boundary, or more precisely, the sources of the operators on the boundary, provide the boundary conditions for the matter fields. So we have some kind of a cigar geometry for as a bulk dual or Euclidean bulk dual of our standard state. And we have a S1 in the bulk, which contracts as we go into the bulk, and it contracts at a codimension to surface, which I will call B tilde n. And this codimensional surface corresponds to the extremal surface corresponding to the sandwich state. So we have, in some sense, the bulk dual of the sandwich state, and a general insert for the metric near the bifurcation or extremal surface is of this form. And using this general form, it is easy to verify that this vector field 2 pi partial tau satisfies the required boundary conditions. That these are boundary conditions that we want for relative entropy to be equal to conserved charges. And given that the sandwich state has a bulk dual and has a vector field which satisfies required boundary conditions, we deduce that the relative entropy of sandwich state and vacuum state is related to conserved charges. And by our useful identity, we know that S tilde n, which is same as the relative entropy of sandwich state, is equals to the difference in conserved charges. However, the bulk dual that appear here is not the bulk dual of state sigma, it's the bulk dual of sandwich state. And I consider this to be a one parameter generalization of the earlier known result. Let me make one more comment here. In our result, similar to the holographic formula for refined Rini entropy that was proposed by Zhi Dong, the refined Rini entropy is given by some area of a codimension to surface, but that codimension to surface does not live in the bulk dual of state rho. It lives in another auxiliary spacetime that you have to find by solving equations of motion, and you have to account for the back reaction of a cosmic ring. That procedure will give you some another spacetime, and on that another spacetime, you have to find some extremal surface, and the area of that extremal surface gives you the refined Rini entropy. Similarly, in this formula, if you have a state rho, and to find the refined Rini relative entropy, you can't use the bulk dual of state rho. You have to construct the bulk dual of state sandwich state. And once you have the sandwich state, you have to compute the conserved charges on that state, and this will give you refined Rini relative entropy. Okay. Recall that positivity of relative entropy led to some positive energy theorem earlier. So is there an analog of positive energy theorems that we get from our result? The answer is yes. Actually, we get a family of positive energy theorems, and it follows from a known property of sandwich Rini relative entropy. That property is that it increases monotonically with integer n. And using this property and the definition of refined Rini relative entropy, recall that refined Rini relative entropy had some derivative of Sn. It is easy to show that this quantity is greater than or equal to relative entropy of the state that we are considering. So now both sides of this inequality is related to conserved charges. So this quantity is related to conserved charges in the bulk dual of sandwich state. This is related to conserved charges in the bulk dual of state rho. And this inequality leads to this inequality, which you can basically cancel two terms and get a positive energy theorem, which is of this form. So this positive energy theorem is kind of interesting because, unlike other positive energy theorems, it is comparing two non-vacuum solutions. So earlier, usually in positive energy theorem, you compare the energy in one spacetime to the energy in vacuum spacetime, but here you have two non-vacuum bulk geometries. And moreover, this is true for all integers n greater than 1, so you're getting like a family of positive energy theorems. And this is another bulk consequence of some quantum information theoretic quantity. Note that we are not assuming anything like null energy condition or something in the bulk matter fields to derive some energy condition. This is coming from just from quantum information quantity. So what are the future directions that I'm interested in? And so first is that, is S tilde n monotonic in the Rini parameter n as well? So remember that monotonicity of sandwich Rini relative entropy led to this result. If we can also show that S tilde n also satisfies this inequality, monotonicity condition, at least for holographic states, then we will get a much stronger family of energy theorems. We would get some formula like SC of in bulk dual of rho 3 is greater than SC in bulk dual of rho 2, for example. Another question is that is S tilde and satis does S tilde and satisfy data processing inequality? So data processing inequality is a property that relative entropy satisfies, and if S tilde n is a valid generalization of relative entropy, we want that S tilde n also satisfies data processing inequalities. Moreover, are there any constraints on S tilde n which are specific to holographic states? So we know that S tilde n are related to conserved charges, and using properties of conserved charges in the Bourque's AD spacetime, can we get some constraint or some results on S tilde n? So what I mean is that can we have some constraint on S tilde n which are similar in spirit to monogamy of mutual information, which are not true in general but are true for holographic states? Moreover, is there an analog of JLMS formula which relates Bourque relative entropy to boundary relative entropy? And if yes, what are the implications for the Bourque reconstruction? And moreover, can we study null deformation of S tilde n? So note that the QNEC, which relates non-null component of stress energy tensor to second variation of entropy, can be related to second variation of relative entropy in certain cases. And in those cases, can we compute second null deformation of S tilde n and see whether they are strictly positive or something? That's all. Thank you for your attention.
Any idea what these positive energy conditions might translate to in the RSA? And right now there's like sort of this, well, there's one quantity which is age of rho, and then there's this other constructed quantity which is age of like some other geometry. And yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, not in GR, but but I guess intuitively what I thought of these is that if you make your boundary conditions more symmetric, it's telling you that your conserved energies is getting bigger and bigger. You can't decrease energy by making your boundary conditions more symmetric. So if you look at, another thing, if you insert more operators on the boundary, if you have more sources on the boundary, your state energy would be becoming more positive. And here, the boundary sources have Z3 symmetry. In general, for arbitrary and Etrurizian symmetry. And seems like if you make your boundary conditions more symmetric, you are getting more energy, more positive energy.
So could it be that this condition that is sort of just trivial and just tells you if you had more perturbations, you create a bigger energy?
Yeah, but this is true for non-perturbatively as well. So perturbatively, if you're in a perturbative regime, these charge this equation would just reduce to the symplectic current. So what you said makes sense. But non-perturbatively, I don't know if it's valid to say that. But it is interesting to see if we can study some examples, specific examples, see what is getting changed.
So how is this auxiliary space that you use to compute the entropy for the sandwich term related to the original one?
In the book?
There's some auxiliary space. You can see much about how that comes from. Where is that?
I guess the only difference is, sorry. Yeah, next slide, please. I got it. Thank you. The only difference is here. So if you had bulk dual of state rho, not rho n, then you would have done the similar thing. You would solve the Einstein equations of motion with these boundary two conditions. But you would have only two operators on the boundary. Here you have more operators on the boundary. So it's just different boundary conditions. Mm. Yeah.
Can I ask, way back at the beginning, you talked about there being this unitary transformation between the ball and the hyperbolic plane. And you said it comes along for the ride, but if I think of your sources, I'm not sure on which side I'm supposed to imagine them, but if I think about a small localized source inside the ball, that would be, you know, it's a dimensionful thing. It would be smeared and rearranged, like it may be spread over some huge area of the hyperbolic plane. Is that?
Yeah, but I think. But I thought this did not happen when I checked it. Yeah. Did this happen?
Really?
I guess what I looked at was sources inserted on. So you start with the path integral over RD with operator insertion. And
over RD. The path integral in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I only look at sources which are inserted on time axis, not on this. So it is at x equals 0 and tau equals tau naught.
Okay, yeah.
And those map to like center of the hyperbolic space, and the spinning function also had a small range.
Sorry, the source was at the center of the ball.
Yeah.
And localized in time.
Yes. And so if this is your path integral, so this is Euclidean path integral on RD. So I had sources around this neighborhood and this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And these maps to sources around this neighborhood and this neighborhood. And I thought that both these small neighborhoods, this small neighborhood would map to a small neighborhood here. This won't like get very big.
That's probably true. I guess I was thinking more like if I go away from the axis or the center.
Oh, you go somewhere here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Then it just has to be getting large because
yeah,
you know, there's a finite size and that gets expanded to an infinite size.
Yeah, this may be true. Yeah. The simplification for this was that the confirmed factor was like maybe 1 or something. If you go for the length of the region.
Yeah.
I didn't, I just look at this for simplicity and didn't think about this.
I mean, you can look at the angular variable on the plane there. You know, there's some angle that tells you how far you've gone around, and that'll tell you the extent in tau on the S1 cross hyperbolic plane.
Yeah, I was more thinking of the spatial extent.
Oh, the spatial
becomes very large. But then the second one was that I'm wondering if there's an overall factor, like if I have to worry about the amplitude being rescaled by the conformal transformation at the same time.
Uh-huh. But
so something that's small on one side, in principle, the amplitude might be big on the other side, or am I?
It might be, but why that would be a problem in this construction?
Well, I'm thinking of your perturbative construction. You assume, I thought, that the amplitude of the source in some sense was small. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It was small. But
I mean, it was small in the sense that you can write it as epsilon times some f of x.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, epsilon would always be there when you do the confirmed transformation. It would just lambda. You had lambda of x in RD. It's like some epsilon f of x, and you get lambda to some scale factors lambda, and this maps to so again you have this epsilon dependence here. So if you're looking at linear order or lowest order epsilon, you don't have to, you it's still small. Okay.
Okay, any other questions? All right, thanks to you here again.
Thank you.